So you want us to keep quiet, cause you wanna keep treating them like fools, using them like tools. But let me tell you, we won't abandon our souls, no, sell it for your dollar bills.
All right, guys, welcome back. let me see here. You know, what's interesting about this, she's talking about how they put together this package. And after several weeks of reviewing the material, they basically, Senator Ron Johnson decided not to pursue this. And anyway, she has this whole, you know, list of body of evidence of, you know, what was completely wrong with this COVID kill shot and all the codes they're violating. And it's a pretty big document. But it's pretty curious how that senator backed off on this investigation, decided not to pursue this. So I encourage you all to go check these documents out. I guess we got a caller, Sean in Hawaii. Let's take Sean in Hawaii.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Sean?
Salute. Yeah, this is my second time calling in. I really appreciate this broadcast. You know, I feel this is real freedom right here, and we have to support this broadcast if you're listening. But guys, we got to seriously, we got to push the children's rights of their innocence. Since everybody wants to have a classification, and you know, I just feel, you know, that this pushback, everything that they've done, I really feel, guys, it's backfiring on them. I feel like we're running off the tracks, but nobody wants to take a vaccination, and they're trying to cripple all the speech, but I feel like people are getting woken up, and again, I want to emphasize, there's technologies these guys have put on the shelf where there's literally cars that run off water. There's electric motors that just keep running and generating power for a whole house. Right. And if they just would release this stuff, I mean, we can default on everything, and then you piggyback off it.
Right. No, those are great points, man. I know. They've been suppressing that technology for years.
Yeah, and if they did it, I mean, it's just like the steam motor. The steam motor still needed a transmission. It still needed an axle. Once they release this, who knows where we can go? But they're in a reprobate mind, literally. Everyday news is making my faith stronger in Jesus Christ, and I'll sign off with that, guys. I love you, and I support you. Thank you so much for the time.
Hey, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate you calling in. Thanks, Sean. Good. That was a good call, and thanks for the compliments on the show. And you know, definitely we got to support RBN, and especially if you can do a small monthly donation on a regular basis, like an auto payment, that really helps the station. There are so few places we could find honest dialogue out there. So we have to support a few places out there. And who knows how much longer we're going to be able to do this. I don't know. I honestly don't know. You know, they definitely want to stifle any dissent, any critical thinking. They're trying to probably slow, like Sean was saying, there are people waking up. There's a lot of people that took it, one shot, maybe two shots, and they said they're done, no more. You know, if I don't need a booster, what the heck? You know, you say your shots work, and I still get sick. You know, and so there's a lot of people that are starting to really question this stuff. And I think, you know, it was kind of a double edged sword when they tried to pull this whole COVID hoax on us. That it kind of backfired in a way too, because a lot of people kind of saw the heavy handed approach they were taking. It kind of got scared and said, you know, no, maybe not. Maybe I'll let most people take this. I don't know. But I definitely do know people that have gotten one shot, and they say they're done. They're not doing it again. They got sick, whatever. And I feel good. tell them that's smart. Don't take any more. Look into detoxing from it, you know, if you can. I don't know. There's a couple people out there that talk about it, but yeah, again, these sources of information that are, you know, unbiased, real people, not paid personalities make $50 million a year. But some of these guys, you know, just spinning the same narrative, running in the same group circle with people, cross-promoting each other. You know, you could tell that they kind of have an agenda, and they want to keep you pigeonholed in a certain area. So, you know, at least on RBN, you're not finding that, at least that I know about. So, again, definitely try to support these local guys, the small guys. You know, try to bring new authors and articles for people to check out. And hope to share the news, give good articles, good resources for people to use. So, and it's all about discussion. That's why I do the last hour of calls. I like to hear everybody else's opinions and what they're seeing in the country, what they're feeling, they're thinking. So I encourage you all to call in. Give us your thoughts. Tell us what you're thinking on the national agenda, the scene, the world agendas. 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. Anyways, I'm going to continue on reading this. Again, there's a bunch of hyperlinks in here. So, yeah, at the time, Senator Johnson's stated goal was to send a letter inquiring about military control, lethal intent of the COVID-19 program. Assembled a package, blah, blah, blah. Put together all the exhibits. My contribution to the project was a legal history memo with footnotes, which I also posted here at Hollywood. Biomedical security state and state-run bioterrorism programs. 6 American statutory frameworks. Okay, that was the article I was reading earlier. After several weeks of reviewing this material with the staff, Johnson decided not to engage further in the process of exposing and stopping the killer program, moving the killers from the government offices they occupied, building criminal prosecution cases against the killers, and bringing them to justice. The legal memo remains the most concise version of the legal story that I've written to date. I updated a few days ago after receiving requests from a military litigant seeking supporting affidavits. In December, January versions, I used softening language to try to make the horrifying information somewhat easier for new readers to emotionally process. Softening words and phrases have been removed from the May 2023 version. All right, we got another call. Let's take that. Lark in Texas. Got a Lark in Texas.
Hey, Travis, how you doing?
Hey, Lark, how you doing? Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Hey, thanks. You know, I just want to mention for yourself and the listeners, in case you're unfamiliar, you know, this is something that can put this entire idea of vaccinations or forced vaccinations, everything else related to it, just right to bed. And it's called, if you do a search, it's called Survival of the Wisest, a review. Survival of the Wisest was a book written by Jonas Salk, along with Sabin. They developed the polio vaccines. Sabin is the one that developed the sugar cube. So here's a guy that in his lifetime, he was lauded as this, the savior of millions because he developed this polio vaccine, right?
Right.
But he also wrote a book called Survival of the Wisest. Now, if you go on YouTube and you type in Survival of the Wisest review, you're going to see an abbreviated, although quite good, review by somebody named Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis.
Okay.
But you're going to see another one in three parts, which is quite detailed. And that would be by somebody by the name of Jessup. J-E-S-S-U-P. Or, excuse me, Jessum Guy. J-E-S-S-U-M. And then D-U-I. And I'm telling you, anybody that watches either one of these, you know, the abbreviated version or the three-part version, I mean, just slow your roll down, take a deep breath, suck it up, and just watch it. And you're going to get the information you need to realize that all of these vaccines, all of them, are not worth a piddly damn. They ain't good for nothing. And then you're going to get these people say, well, what about the smallpox? You know, the smallpox vaccine and did away with smallpox. See, that's a lie, too.
Right.
And there's actually been a co-host on this network for several years who talked about this. And it goes all the way back to the guy that actually invented the so-called cowpox vaccine. It goes back to the Royal Society of London. Right. Because even then they were thinking about how are we going to eliminate all this trash, you know, these street urchins and, you know, these people that are living in poverty, you know, they people get old, they don't have any teeth, you know, they have slovenly habits. I mean, it's just an embarrassment to see these cretins walking around the streets of London. That's how these people think. They still think this way today.
Right.
But anyway, your thoughts?
No, right, man. I mean, that's they don't think of us anything more than cattle. I mean, at best. And you could tell that the way they treat us, the way they talk about us, especially in the ultimate white supremacist writings, you know.
This thing you referenced, I guess, from Catherine Watt. I guess that's Bailiwick News. .substack.com, and she's a woman that's working with these people supposedly that are international attorneys and stuff like that. But remember, I don't trust anybody that calls themselves an attorney, period. But she's talking about how healthcare industry has been weaponized against the American people, and she provides the documents that prove it. But think about all the things that have been weaponized against the American people. I mean, they poisoned the water, at least, in 1945 in Detroit, Michigan, and they rolled it out across America.
Right.
Dennis, they're still telling you that you need a fluoride treatment.
Right.
You know?
That was one of the deceptions ever, just to take that toxic crap from the aluminum processing and sell it as a toothpaste.
Exactly.
And put it in the water.
You know, the entire American medical healthcare delivery so-called system in this country has been weaponized this at least since the 20s, 1920s.
Right, when the Rockefellers really took it over, right? And took over the medical system.
Exactly, and if you were to ask your average doctor and or nurse in an American hospital today, remember, everybody's carrying around a cell phone in these damn places. This has got to be the most toxic environment on earth.
Yeah,
an American hospital.
Six towers are right outside their windows almost, you know.
Oh, yeah. But you have to ask yourself, why is it none of these people have ever heard of Rockefeller Medicine? I mean, everybody's got access to the internet nowadays. You just have to type it in a search engine, right?
Right.
Rockefeller Medicine. I mean, so what could be wrong with an entire system, starting in the medical schools, the universities, that essentially brainwashes, you know, generations upon generations of erstwhile well-meaning doctors and nurses to actually become weapons against the American people? Because Rockefeller was a eugenicist.
Right.
And then look at the so-called American education system. When was that weaponized against the American people? Well, it started back in the 1830s in Massachusetts. Horace Mann. Others just like him. I mean, it only got worse during Reconstruction following the war between the states. And then in the beginning of the 20th century, we had the likes of John Dewey, you know, who was the grand poobah of all things education and policy in America. Well, this is the same guy that was lauded in the Soviet Union. He was a hero.
Right. And they somehow transferred him to bring his propaganda garbage, you know, indoctrination to our kids. And nobody said a word.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't mean to get in the middle of the show.
No, man, you got a lot of wisdom. It's all putting the pieces of the puzzle together. That's where, you know, you have to try to see the picture, you know.
I'm really glad to hear you mention at least say the words aloud on RBN again of communitarianism and communitarian law. Because, let's face it, you know, I understand we all have egos. I have a healthy ego. Everybody, you know, that I respect has also got a healthy ego. Most people just have healthy egos, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? You just can't know what you just don't know. And unless you take the time to look into something, you don't know whether you're aware of this thing or not. And communitarian law is a fact of life in America today, especially since 9/11. Right. My most recent post on Facebook, I mean, this is just two examples of articles that you can read just by doing a search on the Internet. And you talked about communitarian law being nearly synonymous with Talmudic law.
Right.
But, I mean, here's an article from December 24, Christmas Eve on 2012, by Chief Rabbi Lord Sachs, S-A-C-H-S. And it's an article called The Moral Animal, The Moral Animal, published in the New York Times. And in that article, he references this guy named Professor Robert Putnam. Okay, and Robert Putnam is a prominent communitarian scholar. He was a college professor. He wrote a book called Bowling Alone. Bowling Alone, to suggest that, well, nobody joins leagues anymore because we've become too atomistic as people, as individuals. So we don't join leagues like people did in the 50s and the 60s.
Right.
But there was a lot more to the story than that. But, you know, that there's an article you can reference online today. It's called The ABCs of Communitarianism. It was written in 1996 by Fareed Zakaria. Fareed Zakaria has had a show on CNN for years called Fareed Zakaria EPS, which stands for Global Public Square. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And he's been a CNN talk show host for years. The ABCs of communitarianism. And the B part of ABC, A is for Aristotle, B is for Balding, C is for civil society. Civil society is just another word or buzzword, or a turn of phrase that stands for communitarianism. These masters of disasters know damn well that just the mere utterance of this word is going to sow seeds of confusion in the public mind. It's going to cause them to scramble to the Internet to go, what the hell is he saying? Communitarian, communitarianism, gee, that's got a lot of syllables in it. What the hell is that? Well, see, what they've done is they've stood in that word or those words' place a whole lot of buzzwords that say the same thing. But if you're not aware, if you're totally unaware of what these words mean, they're going to fly right past you. They're going to sound quite innocuous and harmless sounding. For example, civil society. What the hell does that mean? ABCs, right. The ABCs of communitarianism. But yeah, in that article by the good rabbi in 2012, he's talking about Mr. Putnam, who's promoting communitarian values.
Right.
And most people, if they don't know, they just don't know. That's what it boils down to. So, I mean, people need to get past the idea that, well, shuckins, you know, I might have missed something in all the research I've been doing all these years, trying to get to the bottom of what the hell's going on and who's who in the zoo and all these other kind of things. But we need to get past that, all of us.
So would communitarian law be like for the Goyim, and the Talmudic law be for the chosen ones? Is that
here's the way I would answer that.
Laws play into this. You're aware of the Noahide laws.
Yes, I am. You know, that would be, that's public law 102-14 and others.
Right.
So it's all in the books. But then I would caution the listener to do a search. You know, what is the difference between public law and private law? Okay. That's important to understand the distinction. But it's really, a Talmudic law is designed really for everybody, okay? Because they have a separate law for the Noahides, and then the separate law for the Goyim, as you say, but they also have the separate law for the elect. Shall we say. The Christians use that term, the elect. But so do the Jews.
Right.
And it's not complicated. If you do a search, what is communitarian law? It's going to help. At least get you started. And see, adults today really owe it to themselves to know certain things because their progeny is at risk. Their children, their grandchildren. Again, if you don't know, you don't know. You just can't know what you don't know, period. So if you don't do the research, you're going to flounder around and you're going to flail in that spider's web, okay, that you've now been caught up in. And if you don't have an arm or a leg in which to extricate yourself, you're just going to sit around until you lose energy, you lose hope, you're living with despair. You run out of gas, and while you're still flailing about, now weakened, here comes a spider to come along and suck all the life force right out of you. And your dinner.
Right.
Your history. Well, that's what this whole system is designed. This whole system is designed, it's like I've mentioned on this network before, it's designed to pit people against one another.
Right.
I'm sorry?
That's exactly what we're witnessing. I mean, you know, in so many different ways.
Right.
You know,
we're
the
warring
LGBTs
against
the straights and the blacks against the whites. You know, I mean, they just got us grouped in these little, you know, subcategories, and we're probably easier to manipulate that way. I mean, they've got this down to a science.
And see, people came up with this idea of communitarianism back in the early 70s. So that's why you heard me say that, you know, this is all happening on the baby boomers' watch. I'm a baby boomer. You know, I'll be 70 next birthday. And I'm profoundly ashamed of what's hurt, what has happened on my watch in my lifetime. And I don't even have children.
Well, yeah.
So I'm really concerned.
Into these positions we're in, you know, another big one is when we went into the World War II, you know, we fought against our brothers, basically. Fought the wrong, you know, enemy there. So,
well,
you know,
just
obviously
about when
brainwashing us, menticiding us for such a long time, you know, They know how to manipulate these people. Us.
Well, yeah, and especially these young soldier boys and these young public school students and university students. These are young people. I'm sorry. They're young.
Right.
You know, even when they get their PhDs, they're young. And they're easily manipulated.
Right.
And so you don't recognize this until you get to be older. When you have children of your own in your middle age, for example, you don't even recognize this. But these young people, they've got their master's degree and their PhDs, and man, they just think that their shite don't stink. They're ready to conquer the world. Well, see, what happens is these people, just like doctors, nurses, attorneys, that become judges and politicians, that become head of medical schools, etc., or law schools, these are the people that have been shown to be compliant, easily moldable, malleable in the hands of the controllers. And these are the people that they unleash onto the society.
Right.
I mean, since when is an attorney worth $150 to $1,500 an hour when you think about a working man that has to work anywhere from $15 to $30 or $40 an hour? You know?
Right.
Why do we think these people have such worth? Because people are afraid. They don't understand this thing called the law. They don't understand the so-called science behind medicine and everything else. That's because so much of it is just purely bullshit. That's why.
Right.
But they're basically part and parcel of a criminal protection racket. And we permit it. We allow it because we're scared to death. I mean, you think about it. When you get in trouble in this life, who do you think about running to? You want to get advice from people that you're closest to, first of all. Say you have a life-threatening disease or illness. You don't feel well. Or you're in some kind of legal jeopardy of some sort. You know, you stand to lose a lot of money or property or, you know, maybe a marriage. People get scared and they're emotionally driven to run to these people called attorneys and doctors to come bail them out. And they pay these bastards big-time money.
Right. Almost too much money in a way. Sometimes
no,
you wonder.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But anyway,
well,
I don't,
the other thing is these CEOs taking, you know, $40 million a year plus all their stock options and whatever else benefits they got. You know, I mean, when did that become acceptable? You know, when do we allow that to happen, you know? And we still work for these companies.
If you're one of these people, though, you know, say today you're a CFO, a CIO, that's a chief information officer. We didn't know of such a thing 30 or 40 years ago, you know?
No.
But, or a CEO, CIO, or CFO of a corporation. I mean, for you, there's nothing wrong with that. This is just the way it works. This is a system. And so you're pursuing a goal, and you're looking to build your wealth and your security in this world for your family and for your friends. You want to increase the status amongst your, you know, amongst your peers. This is how you were designed. This is how you were socially engineered to be.
Right.
And so you do these things. But that doesn't make it right, of course. And we have to recognize the fact that whether we call it capitalism or communism or libertarianism or socialism.
And the babies need shoes, but I'm busted.
Take that after this break and come back and join us.
Talk real people because you can handle the truth.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
So I have Lark protected. Still got Lark here.
Hey there, Travis.
Hey, Lark. No, man, finish your thought. I have a question for you, too.
Yeah, I guess what I want to get to is I want to bring people to an understanding of what's happened to American law.
Right.
Okay, a lot of people, we hear all these people talking about, you know, how to beat the system, you know, how to get a land patent, you know, how to do all these cool things, and a lot of these people are charging. But see, none of them has any cognition of communitarian law that I have found. They don't realize that a lot of this stuff is just rent as meaningless under a system of communitarian law. All law enforcement in this country since 9/11 has been communitarian law enforcement. Well, gee, don't you think we should be asking what the hell that is?
Yeah.
You know?
So is
but
there...
Anyway, what I want to bring up... I'm sorry.
Okay. No, go ahead.
Yeah, this is just a couple of things that you can search on the internet to discover for yourself what has happened. There was an outfit called the Institute of American and Talmudic Law iatlaw.org/faculty. Look it up in the Wayback Machine at archive.org. And you're going to see a group photo. In the middle of that photo is the late Justice of the Supreme Court, Antonin Scalia. He's surrounded by Jewish scholars and judges, rabbis in that group photo. And you need to look, you need to ask yourself, well, how is it that he was invited to join a group called the Institute of American and Talmudic Law? Now, let's also do a search for these things real quick. The Constitution in 2020. The Constitution in 2020. Find it on YouTube and other places. On YouTube, it's called Expert Series, The Constitution in 2020. This is from 2009. Reva Siegel and Jack Alkin. Cass Sunstein. These are all Jews that were involved with this, okay? Now, you have to ask yourself, if they're Jewish, what do they hold as the highest form of law? Well, probably they would think it would be the Talmud, right? That's the law. But here we go. Forgive me, I'm just going to scroll down to this latest piece I wrote. I'm a little slow. I'm sorry.
All right, we've got time.
But I want people to hear these words so they can search them themselves. Here we go. The first keyword search is this: making corporate law more communitarian, a proposed response to the Roberts Court's personification of corporations. Brooklyn Law Review. Here's a second keyword search: the Supreme Court's Talmudic debate on the meanings of guilt, innocence, and finality. Washington Lee, University Law Review. I got the table of contents spelled out. Introduction, a brief introduction to the Talmud, the use of Talmud in American law, a note on Talmud citations, comparing criminal justice under American and Jewish law. So here we have a whole cadre of Jewish legal scholars in America's law schools that are trying to tell everybody that the Talmud is actually superior to any other form of law. And in fact, today, the new law of the European Union is known as communitarian law. This was a law that was 70, 80 years in the making. Now, do you think a bunch of people over a 70 or 80 year time period would have gone to all this trouble to come to one new form of law that all of these formerly independent sovereign nation states of Europe, called the now the European Union, would all come to agreement upon? Don't you think that they're going to, do you think anyone's going to throw that out, all that effort over 70 plus years? No. It's the model legal underpinning for what they're rolling out, overlaying, and superimposing upon all the nation states' laws around the world in a time of hyperconnectivity in the information age. And it's happening right here in America. This thing called communitarian law is very, very, very different from anything that we've heretofore ever known or experienced or even contemplated as being judicious and fair and American about so-called law. So anyway, that's why I called tonight, because I wanted to just throw these things out and basically congratulate you for at least saying the stupid word aloud.
Well, it sounds like they are setting up the base system for the digital technocracy, you know, the prison system, digital prison system that we have. That's going to be the new form of law that they use, basically. I mean, obviously, it's been in the works for a while. They've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, the people that are, what's going to be telling you what to do, what not to do in the future is going to be a damn machine.
Right.
So what are you going to complain to a machine?
No.
It's like if you wanted to complain about Microsoft's, if you wanted to complain about Microsoft Word's terms of use, okay, maybe you didn't want to say I agree before you decide to download Microsoft Word.
Right.
Or how about an email client? You know, all of these things are kind of like a landlord's deed, or excuse me, a landlord's rental agreement. It's called a landlord lease. In other words, it's all heavily weighted towards the landlord.
Right.
In terms of what your rights are. And see, under communitarian law, nobody has rights that are unaccompanied by duties and responsibilities. You have to say that in your head two or three times to grasp its meaning and its full intent. You have no rights. That means any claim of the right to or any expectation of privacy, that means any right to a claim of ownership on a car, a boat, your stuff, your body, your mind, the place where you hang your hat up at night, your house. Under communitarian law, you have no rights. Under, you know, and it, basically what it is, it's enslavement now to a machine. A machine.
Right, because that's what's going to be police all in the future. It's not going to be cops. It's going to be, you know, robot dogs with guns and drones in the sky and, you know, satellites, and it's all going to be run by AI. Cameras everywhere.
Yeah, and then you're increasingly going to be told, you know, by some robot, because it's, you know, it's everything's automated. Like, say you want to file a complaint, say, with the city or the county, or you don't like the policy regarding the pickup of your trash, or the length that your grass can be in your yard, the paint that you put on your house. You're not going to have any real recourse, because you're going to be talking to a machine.
Right.
And even if it's a human being attached at the end of the other end of the phone line, they're only authorized to tell you what they're authorized to tell you.
Right.
So they might as well be robots.
So I got to ask you, you know, you've got a lot of wisdom. What can we do about these communitarian laws that are being slipped underneath everything, our daily lives? Like, what's the best way to battle this?
You have to resist, and you have to realize that you're behind enemy lines. You have to realize that you're surrounded by zombies and criminals, people that don't know they're zombies, people that don't know they're criminals.
Right.
And that's really frightening all by itself.
Absolutely.
Well, it's full of content. And that means that you just got to get knowledged up. Okay? And what I always advise people to do is to go back to when you were 8, 9, 10 years old. Boy or girl, man or woman, imagine contemplating this thing called life when you were of that age, before you got too socially engineered and indoctrinated into the system, you know, before you develop the vocabulary really of any size. Imagine how you felt about the world and your place in it, what you hope to accomplish. What about your dreams, your aspirations, all of these things? Go back to that time first and foremost. And that's what I suggest people do, because if you want to resist, okay, you're going to have to resist years of indoctrination and social engineering that you yourself have experienced. We all have experienced. You know, like this thing called money.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Right.
We got to recognize that, see, money is so important in our lives, because we understand that Everything that we can do or not do in this life is basically geared around how much money we have or we don't have. Well, we have to understand where all this came about. And do we have to live our lives this way? See, the thing about it is the solution is as individual as the human being. We are individuals. And that's the beauty of what we are as individuals, as human beings. We can work it out for ourselves if we just have the time to think, you right. see, and begin to undo the brainwashing that we've received all of our lives. And we always have to remember the greatest lie of them all is the lie of omission.
Absolutely.
What do we don't know? I mean, are we forming all of our opinions and our thought processes based upon what? What we know. Frequency. But what about what we don't know? You see?
Right.
Or never right. even countenanced or thought about or what have you. And I try to tell people, I said, one of the most common and universal human traits of them all is called cognitive dissonance. This is a universal human trait. We all experience this.
Right.
And we have to understand that we have the ability to actually lie to ourselves.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people that are good at that.
So these are the kind of things that as adults, we need to be wrapping our heads around, especially if we love our children, we care about their futures, we care about things like how we're going to wind up when we're 65 or 70 years old or 80 years old, and we contemplate our futures. We have to resist. There's no other choice.
Right.
We have to resist, but we have to do it by degrees and as we're able and in a rational, logical manner.
Right. Well, as Sean pointed out, you know, it really is a war on children. It's a war for their minds. But at the same time, it's a war on the older people. That's why they brought out the kill shot, the COVID kill shot. You know, it's like they're conducting war on all of us. It's a war for our minds. It's a war for our soul. And I think people realize that, but maybe.
I remember in the early 80s, I started thinking that, well, hell, all the high-minded hippies of my generation, they sold out.
Yes.
And I was damn mad. And that's why I got involved in the punk scene. You know, I was pissed. I mean pissed. I remember moving to San Francisco in 1981. I had a beautiful girlfriend. And she wasn't even from Texas. I met her in Fort Worth. We moved to San Francisco in 81 because I thought, okay, I want to see Haight-Ashbury. Because when I was growing up, that was a magical, mystical, cool kind of a place where a lot of things were happening. You know, Baghdad by the Bay, San Francisco. Well, I got there and, of course, discovered there was a McDonald's at the corner. And so I never even wanted to see it. I was let down. But I remember walking the streets of San Francisco with this beautiful girl, 6 years my junior, with my fist balled up.
I got magic on there now.
That was 1981. I got robbed the very first day I got into town. And I was paying $1,000. I had the cheapest place I could find to rent was $1,000 a month. And this is at a time in Dallas-Fort Worth. I mean, that was an exorbitant amount. I mean, you could expect a palatial setting for that amount of money. But for $1,000 a month, we had a Chinese slumlord dwelling, a Murphy bed that was rusted, at least 50, 60 years old. You know, piss stains, urine all over it. The commode was stopped up. It was like an efficiency, $1,000 a month. And we were poor, you know. We just looking for the cheapest place we could land to park. And we got robbed first day in town. 2 weeks later, I was out at Fisherman's Wharf, and some free street urchin tried to shortchange me. And, of course, it was a weird town to be in. You know, it was a big city compared to Fort Worth, Texas, Cowtown, USA. And I remember I walked the streets, you know, we wore nothing but black in those days because we were hipsters, you know. And, but I'm not even a tough guy, but I had my fist balled up knowing that I may actually have to throw a punch. And so I would be thinking, how do I throw a punch so it's going to be effective, so I don't hurt my hand, you know, because that's the only weapon at my disposal.
Right.
That's what it was like.
Well,
and I was angry at the world. I was angry, angry, angry. I fucking hated everybody. Don't tell me anything that's going to set me off, because the least little thing in those days did. But fast forward to today, you know, I'm going to be 70 on my next birthday. I have nothing important to say. I never did anything special in my life. But you know something? I don't like what I see on the horizon and what's happening in the future. And what I really am angry about is that people simply will not have radically honest discussions amongst one another, especially amongst people they really care about.
Right. I totally agree. You try to bring up some of these topics and, you know, pick a topic. But certain topics really trigger people. And they just don't want to hear it. They're not interested. They're too busy. You know what I mean? And to me, it boggles my mind. But that's why I guess all of us are here, you know, trying to learn and talk to people and learn from each other. And I guess that's what brings us together as a little community, you know?
Well, I mean, I really like RBN because I'm, you know, kind of addicted to it. You know, I've been listening since 2009. And I like the people that call in. You know, they're just regular folk. Right. And a lot of people have done a lot of serious research and soul searching. And it's generally an older audience here on RBN, I would say.
Right.
But I kind of think that, you know, nothing seriously good that is going to happen unless we can enlist the support of teenagers and 20-somethings. Because remember, when we were young, I mean, those are the people that actually were idealistic about anything, it seemed. You know, the people coming out of high school into college, because, see, they got their whole lives ahead of them. And they automatically see a lot of things wrong.
Right. Well, it's interesting you said that age group, because a lot of them are kind of waking up and realizing what's on the horizon for them, and they're not too happy about it. You know, they're going to be stuck at their parents' house. You know, they can't afford a $500,000 house, so they're kind of ripe for us to get to them. Might be a good strategy you got there, buddy.
Well, I mean, this whole system is designed to essentially gut the middle class.
Exactly.
Okay. This new economic system is it's designed for slaves and for people to accept their enslavement and be happy about it. We've heard the jingles, you know, we've heard the slogans from places like the World Economic Forum. Well, they're deadly serious about this, you know, and it's happening on our watch. We're the adults here.
Right.
I know you've got children, you know, and, that's why I think you're just a great addition to RBN. You know, you're just a regular guy with a job and trying to make your way in the world. And you've got three kids. They're not toddlers. You know, they're teenagers, as I understand it, you know. And so you knew damn well by attaching yourself to this network that you were going to be beneficiary of old people like me and Jim Fetzer and Tom in Utah and David Duke. You know, Patrick Slattery, you know, people that maybe you're 15, 20, 30 years, you're senior. But at the right. same time, you have your own worldview, which is just as important or just as, well, as
valid.
Anybody else's, you know, it's valid. Yeah.
Right.
It's not really about age, you know, and it's not necessarily altogether about worldview. I think all of us kind of want the same things about this life for ourselves and others around us, you know,
right.
if we appeal to our
and
best natures.
Be left alone.
Yeah.
But they're not going to leave us alone, you know?
But it ain't going to happen. And I'll be honest with you. I think this technology, more than anything else, is what has exacerbated and accelerated this thing on our watch. And started really in about the early 90s.
I do. I look at these people on their phones, and I kind of like wonder, like, how dumb can we all get? You know, you have the information of a sea of information in front of you, yet we're all just watching cat videos. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And look, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I'm not anybody special. I'm not even that smart. You know, I didn't finish college. The reason I didn't finish college is I didn't want to get brainwashed. No, that's what I tell people. But the things that I find myself interested are things that I've always been interested in since I was a child. You know, things like comparative religion and philosophy. Although, I'm the first to admit that I'm just a dilettante. You know? What's most people just want to go through life and they got one basic question. You know, how best should I live? How best can I experience this thing called life on my terms and feel satisfaction about it all? That's really the operative question for everybody, I think.
Right. That's some good words of wisdom, Mark.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm not so sure I'm so wise, you know, but at the same time, I just want to express that I'm happy for your broadcast. It's a new slot on Friday night, and it's a late night slot, but, you know, there's a lot of night owls out there. I know that I'm one of them. I typically don't even go to bed till 3 or 4 in the morning, and it's been that way for many, many years, even in the years that I was a working man, and I owned a business, so forth.
It's funny, because I'm not normally a night owl, but I got the night slot, but... Luckily, I'm on pretty much West Coast time.
Anyway, I'm glad that you're doing this reading of this book. It's an important book. I don't think it's ever been done. Constantly remind people how they can easily find it themselves, because the damn thing can be read in less than an hour, maybe 30 minutes, by just anybody that wanted to look it up. And then they can judge for themselves whether it was worthwhile of you taking your time to actually read it and share it with the listeners.
Well, I think once people read it and we summarize it again, I think people will check it out themselves. Hey, Lark, I appreciate you calling in. I guess we're at the end of our show here. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Travis. Thanks for letting me chime in tonight.
Hey, thanks a lot. Have a great night.
You too.
Audience, bye-bye. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Appreciate it. Hope you all have a great weekend, and we'll see you again next week. Take care.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.